the Electric Eels of Parramatta.
Oh, the dummy by Kenny. He's going to go up the corner. Look at Ferguson coming across the gutter. And it's Kenny with a flicking bounce. Scores a try in the corner. Sterling looking for a hat-trick. Can he get there? It's a hat-trick for Sterling.
The Eels have won it. Mr. Perpetual Motion and Mr. Nice Guy, Michael Cronin, are held aloft. The siren has sounded and Parramatta has taken out their third premiership in a row. The Eels of Parramatta still rule supreme over the rugby league scene here in Sydney.
Well, it is a massive welcome to episode 26 of the Parramatta's podcast. Now, very exciting episode 26 because it's the first time that Bernie, Jono and myself, Barry, are all together. So I'll start tonight with Bernie. Mate, how are you this week?
Good, mate. The menage a trois, as they say. We finally got all three of us together, so it should be interesting.
Well, it wasn't quite the menage a trois I hoped for in my life, but
same.
At least I can say it happened.
Tick it off the list, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. And
Don't let the details get in the way of a good story, mate.
Well, I mean, the one positive of this menage a trois is that we do have the sexiest man from Emerald from 2008, yes. Jono, who has joined the podcast. So, Jono, a huge welcome to you, mate.
Thank you, boys. Thanks for having me. And, hey, you two are a couple of good-looking roosters yourselves. Don't go hanging your heads in shame here, boys.
Well, mate, I think...
silver fox thing going on, but without the silver. It's just like a grey old dog. Yeah. It's not really a silver fox. We're just a couple of grey old dogs.
I was going to tell Jono he needs to get his eyes checked, but anyway. I would like to begin tonight by letting everybody know that we have moved away from the Facebook group and we've now got an open general page on Facebook. And Bernie is the man who has set all that up. So I'd like to thank you for that, Bernie, and tell us a little bit about it, where people can go and what they have to do to join the page.
Well, basically no fucker was joining the group. So everyone joined the page. So I think people are just a bit wary of joining groups nowadays. So I think the page is the way to go. So we just want as many people to join as possible. We just want to get all the para fans there. That's the logic behind it. Nothing else other than now we can advertise and we can get the page out to the para fans. And we think that we offer a bit of a unique perspective, that we actually tell it like it is and don't sugarcoat anything that the Parramatta has put us through over the years. So yep. That's our angle. So I want as many people to join as possible. And I think that a lot of people are looking for a page like ours that you can get in and actually bitch and moan for 1 week and say that the coach is an absolute dead shit coach for 1 week, and then the next week say he's a fucking genius and not have people question whether you're a true fan or not. We're all adults and we're all passionate fans, and we like to complain when we have a loss and we like to celebrate when we have a win, and this is the place to do it.
And can you tell us what is the actual Facebook page called?
It's just The Parramattas. So if you just do a search for The Parramattas in Facebook, the page will come up.
Excellent. And a huge thank you to Jono, because with both the group and The Parramattas page, mate, you're all over it. You're always posting stuff on there. And so you are the Johnny on the spot for us. So we do thank you for that.
The literal Johnny on the spot, boys. Yeah, That's my journalism background kicking in, boys, keeping people abreast of breaking situations. So welcome. Thank you. Thank you for letting me be a part of it. And welcome to all the new members, I hope the community grows.
And everyone is welcome to join. We will take fans from any other team as well, because we're totally up to talk shit and have a bit of a laugh about it all. So we don't take ourselves too seriously. So make sure on Facebook you check out The Parramattas. All right, gents. Well, of course, we need to talk about the Roosters game. And I had conflicting emotions when we first ran onto the field. I saw that Moses and Gutho both had the magic tape on. Now, my theory is that when a player has the magic tape on, like Gutho, he plays amazingly. And then suddenly it was transferred over to Moses, and Moses was having a blinder. But this game, they ran out, they both had it on, so there was a little bit of trepidation on my part there.
The only thing missing was a player with a mullet. So we had the two boys wrapped, and both of them had their quads padded. So I think they were expecting to get a bit of attention, which they didn't get. And I have to say, it's probably one of the best games I've seen them play as a team. I don't know how how is it possible to go from the Canterbury game to this game? And we all know what's going to happen next game. We're going to be back to the bloody Canterbury standard. I mean, how is it even possible? Like, some of those tries were like try of the year candidates. Just incredible, incredible first half of football. The forwards were smashing them down the middle and the backs. It was just perfection all across the field. Everyone doing their job. Sean Lane, best I've ever seen him play. And he's been doing a lot of breaks the last few games. So, and he got the passes away. Very impressive all across the field. Fantastic to get a win against the Roosters. I'll take it any day. But as Parramatta fans, we all know that there's something wrong with the team. And because how do you go? If that team plays against Canterbury, we put 50 on them, you know, and it's just like, how do you not get up for a game against a lower-ranked team? I mean, it must just have, they just have a sense of entitlement, and it's up to BA to snap that out of them.
Which he's not doing.
Well, boys, I said a week ago how much of a motivational factor would embarrassment be? And judging by the first 40 minutes, we led the Roosters 26-12 at halftime. Embarrassment seemed plenty of a motivation, at least, because I think every try we scored in that first half is try of the year candidate, especially the sweeping play out to Micah's wing.
Oh, my God.
I haven't seen ball movement like that from the boys all year. Like, just everything had a purpose. Every player knew his role. It was 40 minutes of perfection. And then to be able to grind out the win in the second half with the Roosters trying to come at us, offensively, the first 40 was brilliant. Defensively, the second 40 was brilliant. That's a complete team performance. And why we don't get that week in, week out is the eternal befuddlement of being a Parramatta Eels supporter.
But let's go one step further. Why do we, and this has been happening for years, why are they extending the contract of BA when, and don't get me wrong, but we've talked about the fact that the players didn't turn up for the Canterbury match, and that's true. BA gave them those 5 days off, and he told them, you need to turn up. They didn't turn up. So they wear some of the blame. But I want to draw a long bow here. I can remember seeing Gordon Tallis speak when I was working in radio, and he was talking about Wayne Bennett, and he said, Wayne Bennett didn't teach me one thing about footy. And I remember mentioning this to a Broncos fan, and she said to me, she said, yeah, but you don't need to actually teach them footy at that level. They already have it. What you need to do is you need to be like a sports psychologist. You need to be a motivator. You need to be, and tell us, it sort of seemed like he had a little bit of a grudge against Bennett, but he did say, he said, the one thing I'll say he was really good at, he was really good at controlling the media and the families and keeping everyone on the same page. That was what he excelled at. So BA gave him 5 days off. They didn't turn up, but it's up to him to motivate them. That's his job. So let's go that rung above. He's been extended for another 2 years. So at what point in a decade or over a decade do the people above go, well, we're not winning. We're not actually getting there. We're seeing this inconsistent performance year in, year out. Why don't we make a change? So we can bag BA, but honestly, I honestly feel we're like the Tigers in that there's rot in the club. No matter which coach they get in, it's... And Blocker Roach even said the same thing. He said, yeah, but the people who call for the review, who reviews them? No one. And so it's really the board and the actual club itself, I would argue.
Very much so. And we've had that problem for a long time. And they seem to be anonymous as well. Like, we're not sure who's calling the shots in the club. We're not sure who got together and decided that BA gets a two-year extension.
Yeah.
Who the hell gets together and decided that?
Yeah.
And what is that based on? He's been there for 8 years and he's done a great job at times and he's done a horrific job at times. But I think we've all agreed that if he can't do it this year, he's not getting it done next year or the year after or the year after. And we've got such an exodus of players. Why not start fresh with a new coach next year?
Yeah.
I mean, if BA can't do it with this team, he's sure as hell not doing it with the team that he's got next year. And then we're sitting out for the next 3 years or whatever because he's going to have to rebuild that team again. It's insane. So I don't know who's doing the extending or whatnot. And I don't even know if he can be. I suppose he gets fired. If he gets fired, he just gets paid out and so be it. But it doesn't even seem to be on the cards. So I don't know. They seem to be happy enough that we're getting in the top eight and that we're beating some of the big teams here and there, and that seems to be good enough. But as Parramatta fans, we demand that one step further. We've been putting up with it since 1986. Mm. 1986 was the last premiership we won.
Yeah.
That's a fucking long time.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It is.
Like, you know, it's time to move on.
Yeah.
Brad Arthur, I actually saw the stat, is the only coach in NRL history to coach a team for seven consecutive seasons and not make a preliminary final.
Yep.
He's the only one. So if that doesn't tell you that in the middle of September, getting towards October, that we hit this stumbling block, and I don't know who's making the decisions above him, because the only time we ever hear about the board of Parramatta is when there's an election coming up or we've breached the salary cap. The only time I hear about the board of Parramatta is they've done something wrong. I don't know who's in the board. Mm. I don't know who's on the board. I don't know you're right. I don't know who's pulling the strings. So
who made that decision? Who made the decision to extend his contract for another 2 years? I mean, they need to be bloody chopped. I mean, there's something going on there, and you know, it's so well hidden. It's so, you'd think the media would be all over it and saying who it is, and you know, but there's no way that he's done enough. If he can't win it this year with this team, if he wins it this year with this team, fucking let him go. I'm happy, you know, and you know, you don't expect to win it 2 years in a row. But if he can't win it with this team, he's not winning it next year. I mean, the players that we're losing, he has to rebuild, and it's going to be a rebuild next year, regardless of who we're signing.
Exactly. We're not winning it next year in any point, in any case, boys. So,
but, I mean, it defies logic that we would then enter another rebuild phase, in that what was the point of this rebuild, the one that we're in? What was the point of it? If you're just going to – look, granted, he built a great team, but he also oversaw it being gutted.
Yeah.
And again, we really want to qualify every episode. It's not, we don't hate BA. We've got nothing against him.
He's a lovely guy.
Yeah. And, you know, he has, we're a club not known for shenanigans. We don't really get outside the club into trouble and things like that. And it seems
since Kenny Edwards left.
Okay. It's, I wasn't saying, you know, we never got into trouble. I was saying not known for trouble. So he's built a good roster. It seems like we've got a good culture in that sense. Can I speculate? Can I throw out a theory? I don't know if you've both seen the film Moneyball, Brad Pitt, Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
Is there a little bit of that going on with the board? So let's just say they're doing the math, and what do they need a premiership for? Okay. And I'm not just talking about their wages, but we have the most members of any club. We've just got a brand new stadium. We sell merch off. It flies off the shelf. Like, have they made?
I think the storm of beaten us with the members at the moment. I think they've won up this. So to make matters worse, I think Melbourne are actually sitting number one at the moment.
Oh, okay, well, fuck Melbourne.
Fuck Melbourne.
Anyway, the point I'm getting at is, are they sitting there looking at all the numbers and going, what do we need to win a premiership for?
Mm.
We're a club with X amount of members. We get X amount of dollars. Like, do we really have to push when we're sitting pretty with the income and the revenue that's coming in? Like, I'm just speculating, is that maybe why there's this malaise in our club of, oh, yeah, we'll keep that guy for another 2 years when we're not actually winning a premiership, Jono?
Well, I'm a paying member, and I have been a paying member for this club, to this club, financially invested in this club for the last 6 years. And I'm going to go on record right now, if we don't win the premiership this year, I don't think I'm renewing my membership next year. So, I mean, but you're right. You know, this club's sitting real pretty with its brand new stadium and its big fan base and its revenue dollars and its renovated leagues club. I mean, it's getting everything it wants without earning a premiership trophy.
Mm.
Well, but how long?
Yeah, well, like you said, Jono, the team that we saw against the Roosters, I haven't seen ball movement like that since Debbie Does Dallas. It was really like, it was how that team managed to play that well was insane. That team that we saw on the weekend destroys any team.
Yeah.
And he has the firepower.
Yep.
All he has to do is do what Bennett does. And now Bennett's smart enough. I remember hearing Bennett say once, every player responds differently. You'll get a guy who responds to being screamed at. Mm. You'll get a guy who responds by being cuddled. You'll get a guy who responds by being dropped. You'll get a guy who responds. He knows his players. Mm. Bennett knows the family members. He calls the mothers. He's like, you know, I'll keep them out of trouble. And he does front the media. And if someone's getting in trouble with the media, he turns it on himself.
Mm.
That's what we need. Like, you get Bellyache, who'll go and yell and scream at everyone, but that's his style. And he has built his team with players who respond by getting yelled at.
Mm.
That's what he's built. So what BA's got is a team of youngsters, and they all respond differently. You can tell. You can tell some of them need a cuddle. Some of them need to be yelled at.
Mm.
So some of them are ego-driven. Some of them need to be chin-checked. But he's not doing that. And unfortunately, we are rolling the dice this year. And if we get into the grand final, I think we spoke about it last week, Jono. We said our biggest danger is probably the first round of the finals, because it looks like we're not going to be in the top four. So we're going to be up against one of the lower ranked teams, and we're more likely to lose to them than we are to Storm or Roosters or Panthers. So if it's all up to chance now, if we manage to beat that team and we get like, oh, okay, now we're going to be up for the big game, we might just fluke it in. But I tell you, if we do win the grand final this year, I don't think BA is going to know how we won the grand final.
Mm, absolutely. And we've always been that sort of team that it just depends on the day. And sometimes it depends on the bounce. I've made this point before, but there's been moments this year where Dillbags or Moses has just made a break and they've turned nothing into something and it's led to a try. Those are just spontaneous moments. There's nothing pre-planned. You know, we're not a team that... Okay, let me argue against myself here. So I was going to say, we're not a team that really plays those set structure plays. But when we go up against the set structure plays like the Storm and the Panthers, they kind of get a bit frazzled and a bit thrown by us because we're so unorthodox, right?
Yeah.
But unorthodox doesn't always win, and that's the problem. So we need to be, like, for example, when we were playing against the Tigers and we just showed up just thinking, oh, yeah, we're going to romp this in. And we were trying a little bit too hard. There should have been that reset of, okay, go back to your structured play, go back to your set plays, and we'll just score a couple of tries, and then we can run around and try and be flashy. But we don't have that ability to know when to actually change the game plan, because there isn't a game plan.
Yeah. Well, that's one of my biggest fears with Mitch Moses. I mean, we saw with the Canterbury game, the first pass he did, he passed straight into the back of the Iceman who was in front of him. What we needed to do against Canterbury was exactly what you said. We just needed some structure for the first 40 minutes. Okay, we're a bigger, better side than them. Let's just run through our sets. Let's just, you know, kick the ball deep. Let's just keep them down there, put the pressure on them, all the pressures on them. And then once we get some runs on the board, then we can be flashy. Mm. But it wasn't.
Absolutely.
We were down 6, then down 12, and we were still throwing the mystery pass. And we just don't seem to have the ability to change. It's like it's an all or nothing, shit show, basically.
Mm.
And that's the most frustrating thing. We are the best team in the competition when we play power football, and we know it, and we prove it every time Parramatta plays power football. We beat anyone on any day. Yeah. And the second we want to go around a team, we get smashed. And why is Gutho or Moses or Junior or even Brad Arthur himself not recognizing when we get into the funk of trying to go around an opposition, where's the call to get back to the power game?
Yeah.
It doesn't come.
No, and that should be coming from Gutho. And I don't think Gutho has that ability. Mitch Moses hasn't got that ability. And I don't think Junior's loud enough. But there needs to be a call that we just go back to the structure, and we don't seem to be able to do it. So, unfortunately, we've got the rep round, and then the following week, who have we got next? Who are we playing?
So we're playing the Bunnies.
And they've got Latrell back, and they're going to be coming back, and they've got all the motivation with super fit Latrell coming back, who's going to be looking, trying to get an origin spot. So hopefully BA is able to rally the troops and say, I want you to smash this guy. I know he's not going to. He's not going to have that plan. He's not going to. It's like, okay, Latrell's there. You need to be on him, like three on him, and just smash him out of the game. And I don't know. I thought that's what we did against the Roosters with Sam Walker. I think that the Iceman, I think, was on him, and that they were just smashing him hard, and they really smashed him out of the game, and he was unable to compete. So, you know, we need to be able to do that to Latrell. So let's see if BA's able to get the team up for that game.
When you talk about us needing structured play, what about if we got Emilio Estevez as our coach and we did the flying V? The flying V. Maybe. At least it would add one structured play to our repertoire.
We, of course, had the flying wedge in the 80s, which was the flying V.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had our set moves. We had the wall. We had the flying wedge. I don't know what else we had. I think that was... we had the... Remember we did the crossfield kick? We had, like, Mick Cronin would be lined up for goal and then he'd just slide the ball across the field trying to get another try. Like, we used to do all those crafty things. But once again, living in the 80s, boys, living in the glory years. So we need some of that for now.
The Parramatta's podcast. Because fuck Melbourne.
However, we do have to stop and celebrate and say that it was a great win. And as you say, it was good to beat the Roosters because I've travelled to Mackay. I've travelled to Brisbane from Gladstone in central Queensland. And I've seen them lose twice. So it was nice to actually see us get over the Roosters because I was worried that they were a bogey team. So well done to the lads. I mean, we should focus on some of the positives. I loved the inside pass. That was just magic in that game. It was great to see. Because yeah, I've always been critical of Moses when he does his... He just slows to a walk and then someone runs up behind him and he throws the ball to them like he's fooling anyone. Whereas in this game, he was running flat stick when he did it and it worked a treat. So I don't know why he keeps trying to do it because he doesn't fool anyone with it. But the inside ball was amazing. It was good to see Sivo do some good things. I mean, he also stuffed it up at the beginning, but he had some good runs and he made some good breaks. So, and, you know, Gutho's doing well. It's good to see him sort of come back into a bit of form. So, Reed did knock on, but that's typical of Bulldogs, isn't it? So, other than that, I've got to say, I well done to them, but I can't really celebrate this win too much because I just think, well, I know in a couple of weeks they're just going to do the same thing and not turn up.
Well, see, it's a big game against the Rabbitohs, I think. It's a massive game and we need to put on a big performance against them. And we need to be able to switch on when we want to switch on. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, seeing Latrell Mitchell's name on the team sheet, that should be alarm bells enough for some heads to be switched on. So we'll see.
Because Cody Walker plays much better when Latrell's in the team and he's going to pick up his game. Latrell's going to pick up his game. They're going to be coming to play. So hopefully BA is able to get us to come and play as well.
So we have a bit of a treat this week, which is two Origin games. Now, on Friday night, we have the NRLW. We have the Women's Origin Series, which Queensland predominantly dominates. Well, I think you've won them all, have you not, Jono? I think that's correct, isn't it?
I think it's pretty close to the truth, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously New South Wales needs to turn the tables there, and hopefully that will be the case. Now, obviously, it's in its infancy. We've got some new NRLW teams coming through. So it'd be good to see in sort of the next 3, 4, 5 years, just to watch the improvement in the game. I think that's going to be the most exciting thing about Origin, would you say, Bernie?
The thing that I love about the Women's Origin game is it's just as physical and they get stuck in. It's brutal.
They like punch watching, on.
Oh my goodness. Like, but the tackles are really heavy and it's like old school 80s Origin. Like it's wild and it's like, they don't seem to have it. They just go. It's just nonstop. And I really enjoyed watching last year. And I think that New South Wales, without knowing too many of the players, I think New South Wales should be able to win it quite comfortably. So I'm predicting 20-point flogging of the Queensland side. And so they've got the women Kiwis and the women Tongan playing before the men's game on Saturday. So this high level women's rugby league is starting to get airtime and we just haven't been exposed to it. We love rugby league and we're fully on board with it, but it's just going to take us a while, I think, before we get too familiar or we get familiar enough with all the players and their strengths. So I'm really looking forward to Friday night. The girls just get stuck in. I think I'm going to watch the Kiwis men versus the Tongan team. I think that is going to be an absolute brutal game. And we've got Dillbags playing at 6 next to Jerome Hughes. Now that's fascinating to me because Dillbags is always playing next to Moses and Moses is quite, you know, flighty. He's not really structured. You've got Jerome Hughes, the Storm's halfback, very structured. So I'm curious to see how Dilbeg goes next to a structured halfback. And not only that, you see who's been picked to play centre for the Kiwis? Murata Niokore.
Oh, wow.
So,
oh,
wow. Yeah. Why is it that other coaches can see that Murata's good at number three, but BA just refuses to stick him in the centres? He's such a good centre. And Wonga on the wing, Murata at three, that's a brutal combination to me. So I'm curious. I'll be watching those two things in particular. I want to see how Dilbeg goes with Jerome, and I want to see how Murata goes at centre.
Well, I've got to throw to the Queenslander on the show, the one Queenslander.
Boom.
And your prediction, Jono, for the NRLW match, the State of Origin for the women.
Mate, more of the same. There's so much talent up here. Yeah, I was watching the local league up here just the other week. We had the North Queensland Gold Stars win the BMD Premiership. And they're just local Mackay girls around here. So I know how much female talent rugby league wise comes out of Queensland.
Mm. Well, being the sexiest man up there, mate, of course you know about all the women talent up there, mate. Especially in Mackay. You're well versed with the female talent from Mackay, mate.
I was trying to defer from that, but yes, I think that's more of the same, gentlemen. I think Queensland's women will show why they are superior, and we'll hand New South Wales yet another series loss.
Well, the one thing about the female origin matches that is slightly different for you two is that you guys have a Facebook signature bet. So essentially what happens is during origin, if Queensland wins, Bernie has to have his head photoshopped onto a Queensland player. And if New South Wales win, Jono has to have his face photoshopped onto a Blues player. So does this mean now that there's a women's game, that you guys are going to be photoshopping your heads onto the female players?
Oh, no, that's just silly talk. I didn't even want to be part of this bet in the first place, because I started this bet when we had lost like eight in a row, and I was still going, I'm taking this bet. So I'm not going to now start that tradition with another dominant female Queensland team, because it's bad enough for me rolling the dice that the New South Wales men are going to lose. So, no, I'm not on board with that. Sorry.
All right. Well, let us then turn our attention really quickly to the men's game. Obviously, Queensland won the first match. It wasn't a blowout, but what we've seen this week is, I believe, a massive overreaction and an overcorrection from Brad Fittler to replace seven players. Now, if we cast our minds back to the opening game last year, where we absolutely curb-stomped Queensland. Now, that you could say is a time to change seven players. But in a match as close as the first game this year, it's not. So what's going on with Freddie Fittler? Why is he making these drastic changes, Bernie?
Some weird ones as well. First of all, RCG has been dropped, and I think he was the dominant forward. He was much better than Junior in the first Origin game. So if anyone should be dropped, it should be Junior. I don't think either of them should. The way that they played on the weekend, over 400 metres combined, I think that they're up for it. We did kind of have the Canterbury game in between. So maybe RCG got dropped on his Canterbury performance. The other weird one is Katoni Staggs. Now, I'm not sure if he's pulled himself out or whether he's actually been dropped, but either way, he's been replaced by Matt Burton, and that is just insanity. I mean, Matt Burton is not a center. I don't like that he's made such drastic changes. I don't know why the Fox wasn't chosen. The Fox jumped up and said, pick me, and did everything within his power. And if he had been chosen, he would have done the best he could. Jack Whiten's obviously out with COVID. That's a massive blow for us. Tommy Turbo's out, massive blow. Ryan Pappenhausen out, massive blow. Latrell's got COVID. You know, we haven't got our full strength team. So what you want is you want the hardest players and the players who were probably there in the first game to try and come out and redeem themselves. I mean, we spoke about this with Parramatta. At least give the guys who were there a chance to come out and redeem themselves and restore their honour. And that's your best chance of winning. I'm close to raising the white flag on this one. And this is, you know, ridiculous for me, because the team he has picked is not going to dominate that Queensland team. The only way we win this game is if Queensland lose this game. If Queensland turn up like they did for game one, we're dead in the water. If they trip over, which they're unlikely to do, but if they do, that's our only chance of winning it, unfortunately.
Mm. Jono, thoughts?
Well, yeah, Brad Fittler's hit the panic button and made 7 changes, and 2 of those changes is dropping Regan Campbell-Gillard and not picking up Josh Adokar, which I found on this side of the border, we're laughing at you because what more did the kid have to do to get a spot? And oh, great, he's got 3 ties. They were making memes about him. There's that meme of Josh Adokar and he's running away from behind, and the sign says, Perth, 3,000 kilometres, and he's running down the highway because that's how sure he was to be picked for the Blues after what he did to Parramatta, and he's not there. Mm. Instead, you've got Clint Gutherson. I love Gutho.
Where does Gutho fit into that? Where does he fit into that New South Wales team? Mm.
He's not even the best player on the squad, our squad.
I don't understand. Like, Daniel Tupu, I believe, has ruled himself out so that he can play for Tonga, I think he's playing for. So the wing is open. I don't know what's going on with the players jumping out. So basically, Tupou got chosen over the Fox, and now Tupou's not playing, and now the Fox isn't playing. I don't understand. I know who the hell's on the wing. What are you doing?
Did Brad Fittler slip and hit his head like the morning of team selection?
His head on the grass, which he walks on. Barefoot. And smokes on a daily.
He's absorbed too many minerals through his feet, obviously. Look, has gone to his head.
I'm going to throw something out here, which I heard a rumour that Brad Fittler has been chosen as the new coach of Canterbury. Now, if that's the case, that makes me understand why Matt Burton has been chosen. Does not make me understand how the Fox has not been chosen. Because if you're going in as coach and your first order of business is to say, well, I didn't trust your Fox to come in even as a third choice winger. Dude, scratching my head. I enjoy Origin, obviously. It's brilliant. But I'm not confident going into this game. And it's highly annoying that we didn't win that first game, because this game, it's not looking good.
I'm actually predicting a clean sweep for Queensland. I think after these ridiculous changes, and I think they'll win in Perth, and then you guys will just drive the nail in the coffin in Queensland.
I think the fact that Ruben Cotter is out will help New South Wales a little bit. I think he's out, isn't he? He did a season-ending injury. I think his hammy's gone. I think he's out for the game.
He's going to miss Origin, but he'll be back for the Cowboys for the end of the year. Yeah, boys, let me tell you how quickly the confidence of us Queenslanders swung winning game one in Sydney. We went in, we were all sitting at the bar, we were at South Leagues Club watching game one, a whole bunch of us Queenslanders and a few Blues in the corner, and you could feel the nervous tension. It's like, all right, we go down in a close one, we'll regroup for Perth and try and win in Perth, and we'll win the decider in Brisbane, we'll be right. And then we go out and Cameron Muss is on fire.
What a freak. Absolute freak.
Valentine Holmes is on fire, and all of a sudden we're running away with this game 16, and you guys get that try at 16-10.
Yeah.
Man, as far as we're concerned, and let's not get entitled or uppity here, the hard part's done. We beat you at home.
Yep.
So
totally agree.
Now we've got 2 bites of the cherry to seal it, man, and my confidence is sky high.
Mm. And rightly so. I think the Munster, unless he trips over a packet of cocaine before the game or something, and bruises his knee, unless he goes batshit crazy, but that guy can win a game by himself. Like I said, this is Origin, and it was like Tommy Turbo last year. Like, Tommy Turbo won the series for us last year, and Munster's going to win it for you guys this year. Unless we manage to take him out of the game somehow, I don't like those tactics, but if Tommy Radonikis was coaching the team, he would have Munster taken off on a stretcher within the first 5 minutes. So we'll see if some old-school bulldog mentality comes out.
Well,
it might be your only chance, but we'll see.
Well, it sounds like Queensland's going to take it from the conversation that we've had. However, let's hope for a good game on Sunday night. And, of course, good luck to all the women on Friday night. Don't forget, when you're on Facebook, check out The Parramattas. That is our Facebook page. and make sure that you subscribe, and we'll be updating that every day pretty much. We've been, Jono's been chucking stuff up there, which is awesome.
Jono's the man.
Yep. So boys, awesome work this evening, and we'll be back next week, of course, to talk about the Bunnies match. Hopefully we'll be in a good mood, but then again, we just won on the Roosters and we tended to go down a bit of a negative path again, didn't we?
Well, we can see it coming, unfortunately.
Yeah,
so,
we can, yeah. It's in the post.
Yeah, gave post. Them 5 days off before the Canterbury game, and now they've had another whole week off before the Souths game. So, let's move on.
Yes, however, on. Congratulations on a great win over the Roosters. Let's end on a positive note. And as we always say, fellas, click go the Eels.
Click go the Eels, baby.
Click go the Eels.
The Parramatta's podcast. Find us on Facebook.